Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Ray Rolden. Before we talk to Ray, I just want to give a public shout out to Emily Burke, who has never been to Adobe, and she's to my left, and she might say a few words on this show as well.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. This is a very small room, but it's very comfortable. And
you're a very small room.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
I don't know how to take that.
You could take it for the words that they are. So I just want to say that Emily Burke is amazing. She has actually been helping with every single Waldman's Words flyer and every single description, and she makes the social media happen. So public shout out to her. I love you.
Also, public
shout out thanks. No,
to,
love that. Thanks.
At Waldman's
Words. Wait. Thanks for immediately doing business and not making it personal and saying I love you back. But it's fine.
You too.
Do you really?
Putting it out there that they should follow the Instagram and Facebook because I update it and all the posts are really cute.
Well, I agree with that. I wouldn't use the word cute. Like, if you are looking for an apartment on Craigslist and they describe it as cute, run the fuck away, because that is basically synonymous with shitty. You do not want cute in description unless it's describing, oh, that's a cute outfit.
The cute little flyers. That's all I'm going to say.
Little? That's another thing you should never use in a description. Little? Emily, are you already fucking up your first co-hosting gig? This is shit. Anyway, back to the actual job. All kidding aside, Emily is amazing. And if you mess with her, like I said to Dan, who, for the record, is amazing and recording us, I said, Dan, actually, can you quote me on this? I said, I will eat anyone who fucks with her. Did I say that? Dan, I'm waiting for your comment. Oh, his comment's a nod. Awesome, and he giggled. And to my right also, we've got Tom, who, as I said outside, he is the Steve Jobs at Adobe. He changed my fucking life, and he's currently either on his phone or taking a picture. I don't know. Oh, he's on his phone. Awesome, that makes me feel great about this life. So we have a little bit more time, so I guess I might as well talk about the next guests. Well, there's a lot of incredible guests on this show coming up, and Emily Burke, you should know this. Who are the next guests on this show? Putting you on the spot.
There's a guy with the last name of Glitta.
Yep. His name's Mike Glitta. That's fine. Glitta. I didn't write the phonetic pronunciation.
I've only ever read it. I've never heard it out loud.
Well, Glitta. He is the bassist for Census Fail, but not anymore. He actually currently manages a band called Owl on Equal Vision Records. Talk about three more upcoming guests. No pressure.
Hopefully Megan Thompson.
Hopefully Megan Thompson, and hopelessly, because she works for Hopeless Records. She is an upcoming guest on the show, too. You got two more? I love you. I'm so happy I'm doing this.
Oh, another guy named Mike is coming on.
Mike Zemer. Yeah, there was an attack of the mics in terms of stuff, and we had Mike Cubillos the other day, so this show is sponsored by Mike and Ike. One more.
I think that's all I got. I think like the best thing we do is another Mike, because that seems to be a theme.
Mike Hunt. Get it? Like the cunt, except I'm a dude. Anyway, so we are on Waldman's Words every single Tuesday night, 5 p.m. our time on the West Coast, and 8 p.m. Eastern time, where, for the record, Emily goes to school in Philly.
I do. It's cold, and if it's not cold, it's humid.
It kind of sounds like here, except it's hot, and if it's not hot, it's sticky and shitty.
Yeah, so no matter where you live, it's always going to suck. That's
true. That's a metaphor. So if you take anything from this show, life sucks, complain. Mm-hmm. And speaking of happiness, we've got Ray on the air in just a few after whatever advertisement they play, after whatever song they play. Special shout out again to Tom and Adobe for constantly making me feel better about myself. Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with my new homie, Ray.
Hey guys, how are you?
I'm doing great. I love that you said guys, because to my left, we've got Emily Burke co-hosting.
I'm just one of the guys today.
Remember, it's a gender-neutral word. It goes with everyone. Guy. Hey, guy. It could mean anything.
And exactly.
Thank you. I love how tolerant you are, Ray. So I guess before we delve into you, do you have any questions for Emily?
I do not, actually. I want to just answer your questions.
Okay, fine.
Good answer.
That is a good answer. She just looked at me with, like, the thank God look. So that's awesome. All right, so we met on Facebook, right?
I believe so. Yeah, we did.
How did that exactly happen?
You know, I have no clue. Actually, I do know how it happened. It was actually through, we were talking about bands, actually. And one of them being Candy Hearts.
You know, it's insane. I've heard of them. Do you like Candy Hearts?
I think they're good kids. I think they're good enough kids that we actually took on Mariel as a client for her new band.
That's pretty wild. And it's what's crazy about these good kids and you having as a client is she is also a client of mine. Gotcha, listeners. I manage Best X and you manage to do our PR. And so we literally work together now.
Now, isn't this kind of a conflict of interest now?
Having you on my show? Tell me. I worked at a law firm for 5.5 years, so I'm curious what you mean.
Well, we're both talking about a shared client of ours, and that becomes now almost a promo thing, doesn't it?
Almost? You could remove the word almost. This is literally a promo thing for 20 million people right now who are tuned in. So, yes, but we don't have to talk about her anymore, but we could spend the entire time talking about her, and I would not be upset. So
I would not be either.
Yeah, but at any rate, we met on Facebook. We talked about music. We've spoken on the phone maybe 2 or 3 times max, but I totally respect your career, which is why you're on the show, and I would just like to learn how you started. Did you take journalism or English or whatever in high school, or what was your gateway drug?
Well, you know, I actually started way back when I was a kid. Back when I was a wee toddler, I was actually big into music. You know, I was like one of my first records that I bought was.
You bought a record when you were a toddler? How did you have access to money? I'm really curious about that.
Older brothers who actually my oldest brother listened to like real crappy disco and all that stuff, but my other brother was into more the rock and punk stuff.
What rock and punk specifically? Well,
my one brother Rex, he was really into Kiss, the Kiss Army and AC/DC and all that kind of stuff. I was part of the Kiss Army when I was maybe 6 years old.
Really? Did you have a jacket?
I had a t-shirt. I had the iron on, the iron decals. I had the records. I even went as Peter Criss, who played drums.
Yes,
in the band,
he did.
I think.
No, he did.
I went as him for Halloween one year.
Well, how old were you? Send me a picture now.
I had one picture. I think I was 7 or 8 years old.
That's the best TBT, dude. I like the album Destroyer by Kiss. I think that they have some really great singles. But my favorite thing about Kiss is you can go online and find banter that Paul Stanley said at shows. I'm just letting you know, everything he says is unintentionally funnier than the last. So I highly recommend that as a Kiss fan. You're probably a bigger one than I am, but
sorry. Oh God, no.
No, I bet you are.
No, I'm not.
You are.
Listen to them. I listened to them when I was that young, and I stopped listening to them probably by the time I got to 8 or 9.
Okay, so you're over them pre-double digits. That's funny. Yes. So what punk bands though? Because I don't know how old you are, and it's impolite to ask. But when I think about what my gateway drugs were to punk. Believe it or not, it was Green Day and Offspring, and then I'm actually wearing a Ramones shirt right now, which is kind of crazy. I got into them, and I got into the Pistols, and then I got into, the CBGB shit. So, what was yours?
Well, the funny thing is I'm wearing a Taken Back Sunday shirt right now.
Oh, they're the most punk rock band of all time.
I know, right? And don't make fun of them, because they're
I have yet to. Did I make fun of them? See, this is what you did on Facebook yesterday when I made a joke loving the English beat. You interpret it the worst way possible, Ray. That's rude.
Sarcasm.
I don't get it. I'm a New York Jew. New York Jews don't understand sarcasm. We do not. Wait, hey, Emily.
Yes.
You're half Jew, right?
I am half Jew.
Do you understand sarcasm halfway?
I think I got the full part of sarcasm when it comes to my Jewish heritage.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I get it.
Give it up for Emily, Ray.
That's my 2 cents. I'm just going to stay back here.
Bravo.
Thank you. It's actually brava. Emily is a woman, and I don't
know. She's a guy today. Remember that?
But she's a guy of female persuasion. So that's why I wanted to. Listen, man, we can move forward eventually. Let's hear. I mean, yeah, no, Taking Back Sunday, I'll tell you that Where You Want to Be and Louder Now are two incredible front to back records. So I I'm totally a fan of that. But in terms of 70s punk in New York City, they were probably listening to it. Yeah. But like, who, like, I don't know. I don't even know if you're from New York City. Are you, where are you from?
I'm a Jersey boy.
Fuck yeah.
So, I mean, I call it West Midtown. So.
Oh God. That's weird. That's like me saying
I don't admit being a Jersey boy. So
I'm West Chicago, dude. I live in LA. Like, what do you want? Like, what are you doing?
But back to my punk, like, you know, my entree into punk. It was like we're talking like we're like, you know, one of the first records I bought was Nevermind the Bollocks.
Great album.
And like, I bought that, like, you know, that Sex Pistols record was like, you know, completely blew my mind. You know, I went to go see Agnostic Front and DRI and Suicidal Tendencies.
Fuck yeah.
You know, back then when I was like, you know, when I was maybe like not even a teenager at that point.
Dude, that's the best part about living where I grew up in New York. So you grew up very close to New York City, or I'm sure really good venues in Jersey. All these bands come around there, you know. So I started going to shows without my parents when I was a teenager, so you grew up faster than I did, so that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I bought Prince's Controversy when I was probably like, I don't know, maybe like around 10 years old, you know. I was into U2 back in 1978.
What? You know? You were into pre-New Year's Day U2? That's amazing.
I was listening to The Cure, like, you know, The Cure when they were still punk, back in, like, you know, 1970, like, you know, 1978, 1979.
You were way cooler kind of pre-teen. I was listening to Weird Al and The Beatles. I mean, granted, like, I love both of those acts to this day, but wow.
You know, mind you, I was rebelling against my oldest brother, who was into disco. You know,
fuck
he
disco.
He was listening to The Commodores and Earth, Wind & Fire Chic. And stuff like that. And that was like not completely part of my avoir, if you want to call it that. So
I don't have an older sibling to show me the way. So I was the older sibling, and the first punk rock band I ever heard was called Taking Back Sunday.
And they're not even punk. And
I know, but they're great.
I can say that as a publicist.
No, I could say as a fan, their music is awesome. And I really, really, really like... I say Louder Now is my favorite, but I got to see Tell All Your Friends play it in its entirety, and I was like, holy shit, like, this just sounds great. So, good client.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I was going to concerts. I was buying records back when I was a kid, so that was kind of my first real immersion into the music scene. But I knew I was like, you know, I mean, I was like, it's going to sound stupid, but I knew I was going to be doing something musically, or at least in that creative field, ever since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. So like when I got into high school, I started writing for the high school paper. You know,
what was the paper called?
It was called I can't remember. It was like Seton Hall Preps. Like, you know, it might have been called The Pirate. I think it was called The Pirate.
Okay.
The Pirate newspaper.
I mean, so that's cool. Yeah. Because I'm looking at my notes now, and we started with the Facebook meetage. Then we started with school, if any. And also, I have down that you worked in journalism in many facets, and you've also done strategy for PR, and I have no idea what that means. So I'd love to hear what that means.
Well, I mean, strategy is very much a secret, you know.
Oh.
Because there's so many publicists, and I'm not ragging on the new publicists, like, you know, like, God love them, who are coming out, like, you know, thinking they know what publicity is, and really kind of thinking that publicity is all about sending out press releases and seeing what comes back. Strategy involves a lot of artist development, which is a word that you don't really hear that much.
No, it's dead right now. The labels give up right away now. It's crazy. Yeah,
exactly.
It's sad.
You know, my whole idea is, like, you know, with strategy is it's all about building a career. You know, it's not about not about just building a record. You know, most campaigns are 3 months long. I tend to think about it, like, you know, years and album cycles and things like that. I mean, if you look at my roster, a lot of my artists have been with me multiple records, you know, and that's mainly because I'm always using foresight and strategy to get to that next record while working this record.
No, it's good to plan ahead. I think that a big problem with a lot of young music. I don't know if you've heard this show, but I try to obviously keep it light, but also keep it informative. And so that's why someone like you, who has a lot of experience, like, I have no PR experience. I've sent out pitch emails, but I'm not a publicist. So, like, this is really cool to hear that. And I just think it's a shame that there's a lot of bands that would not be where they are now, because the label would have dropped them after the first single failed. Like, for example, Acceptance. You know, they signed a major label deal with Columbia Records. Major label. Like, they were kind of the... They were like one of the quote unquote talks of the town when I moved to LA, and Columbia put out one single, it tanked, they got dropped. And now their tours are bigger than ever, and I really, really wish that people worked smarter, not harder, and really like did the quote unquote strategy that obviously I'm not expecting you to reveal your secrets about. But you know, do you get what I'm saying? Did that transition make sense? I really
no,
hope
absolutely.
It did. Okay, good.
Absolutely. No, I mean, like, no, like, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, the everybody thinks these days in terms of sales, like, you know, or like, you know, how big a record can be immediately without thinking, you know, a record could actually, it may take a record, like, you know, 4 or 5 months to just
Maroon 5, dude. Songs yeah. About Jane
oh,
took a
absolutely.
Long time.
Perfect example.
Thank you.
No, perfect.
I think about this stuff. no, I like to I'm a manager, as you know, because you literally work with on this conflict of interest. And the thing about it is that I only work with people that A, I'm 100% about, and B, that want to do this as a career. I don't want to work mm-hmm. with anyone who wants to be a flash in the pan. I don't want to work with anyone who want to just do one single and run and be done, you know? So you need to kind of keep your eyes on the prize. I mean, not you, like one in this industry. So I just have a question for you besides how much do you agree with me. Let's talk about Raby because I want to hear more about that company. I know that you've worked with, I'll just name drop 4X. The Beat, do you currently work with Dave?
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. I mean, I wasn't as cool of a kid as Ray growing up, but 15-year-old two-tone Scott who liked The Beat and The Specials and Madness is freaking out about that. You've also worked with Britney Spears, who, for the record, I saw on the Oops, I Did It Again tour live. And wait, Megan is not here. I just called Emily Megan. Haha, sorry. Megan just texted me. She's another sister. She's cool, but I'm going to say that Emily's cooler right now because she's right next to me. So talk to me about Britney.
Oh, my God.
Wait, was that directed at me?
It's directed at anyone who wants to talk about Britney.
Honestly, anyone who wants to talk about Britney Spears, please talk about Britney Spears. She was everything to me growing up, and she still is everything to me. She's
you know what? She's an influence in many ways. Actually, I enjoyed watching her on X Factor. I really did. Were you working? Are you still working with Britney?
I am not still working with Britney, actually.
Okay.
I actually I worked with her first for her first two records, maybe One More Time, and I think the
Oops,
second
one
was called
again.
Britney.
No, the third one was called Britney. Oops, I Did
what
It
was
Again.
The Oops, I Did It Again. Was
that's
the
tour
right,
I saw, dog. Don't fuck with my early Britney knowledge, okay? Lucky.
Well, I actually worked with Britney about a year before Baby One More Time came out.
Oh, you're the Genesis. You're like post so Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I worked with her like, you know, the year before and into the record and into the next record. So like I actually was very, very like very involved in her formative years, if you will. You know, like, you know, we were putting her through like, you know, the mall tours. We
yep.
were doing like stuff like we were doing like what were we doing? We were putting her in Delia's like, you know, the I guess little girl clothing, like, you know, catalogs and things like that, just to kind of cement her with kids. Before Baby One More Time, the single came out. And
when you
sudden,
say
like,
mall tours, do you mean like Tiffany style mall tours? Like, because
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Okay, cool.
We use that as our model because no one's done like no one did that since Tiffany and what was her name and
Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson.
Yeah, you know? Well, she's a Long Island girl, so I gotta rep her.
Yeah, of course.
Long Island Jewish girl, rep fucking Zen. Sorry.
But yeah, I mean, it's like she was great. I mean, like, you know, Britney was actually she was really sweet. So I'm not going to ruin that. Say that, like, you know, she was actually.
I'm glad you're not destroying that because I have several musicians that we could talk about off the air that have made it so that whenever I listen to them, I get sad because they're such a douche. So that's good to know.
Yeah, she's really sweet. She like, you know, she wasn't exactly the most. I'll just say this, knowledgeable girl.
there's another word for that, but we can let that slide. But as far as sweet, for the record, she always comes off sweet from what I've seen and grateful. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's part of a Southern upbringing, you know. Like, you know, I actually went to Kentwood, Louisiana with MTV for the very first big MTV.
Oh, I said Georgia. She's Louisiana, right?
Yeah, she's Kentwood, Louisiana.
Up. Shit, I'm
and
sorry.
And that town that she grew up in is just really kind of something out of like the '50s. You know, like
Pleasant
everyone's so incredibly like pleasant and it's almost creepy. You know, so
well that's why I said yeah. Pleasantville. Do you remember that movie? It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Is it kind of like that where everyone is literally in black and white?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of black and white, oh my God, this is my favorite transition I've ever done. You work with Yellow Card. Look at that. Oh my God. Dude. High five. Sick. I love Yellow Card. I'm really sad that Yellow Card is no longer a band. I moved to LA in 2003, and that's right when Ocean Avenue came out. Mm-hmm. So they're a pivotal band for me, and you know, I think that they have five incredible albums, like incredible front to back. So, how is it? You were working their farewell tour, right?
I worked ever since they came back again. Like, you know, I've always prevented calling it a reunion, but ever since When You're Through Thinking, Say Yes,
right.
Straight through until the end, and I'm going to still be working with Ryan and like, you know, Ryan, like, you know,
for his recording or for his new band.
For his new, like, the things that he's doing for his recording, like, you know, he and I have talked a few times since the breakup, and mm-hmm. and like, and he wants to work together. I, like, you know, I was also very instrumental. I don't know if you know this.
I probably don't.
But Ryan penned a Spider-Man comic book for Marvel.
I do know that, and Max Bemis is I was actually going to mention that. So I did know it. But it's what's so cool is like now a lot of musicians are quote-unquote giving back to the comic book community, like Max Bemis from Say Anything and Ryan Key. I just read about it. I don't know the specifics, but the biggest one I could think of is Claudio from Coheed. That's the mm-hmm. big comic book thing. Did he write like the story? I'm using my hand to write and you can't see me, so like what
yeah,
did he do?
He wrote the story, like, no way it came about. Like, I actually brought Ryan to Marvel Comics. A buddy of mine is the head of marketing over there, and like he did the podcast, and I've been telling them how much Ryan's really much, like, you know, really loves Marvel, and like Spider-Man's his favorite book, and soon enough like an opportunity came up in which, like, you know, because of me constantly pushing that button, they decided to offer Ryan a potential writing gig to write to pen an issue.
That's cool.
And it came out. I mean, no, I don't think it's come out yet, but, like, you know, they love the story. They're actually in the midst of putting it together. So
that's insane. He's, I guess, doing, like, he's literally bringing his fantasy to life. That's mm-hmm. so sick. I'm not a comic book guy, I'll be honest with you, but my wife and I, saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And I liked it. Did you see it?
I saw the first one. Didn't see the second one.
The first one was okay, and I know that I'm probably going to get slapped by some people metaphorically for saying that. Emily, did you see it?
I didn't see the second one.
Did you see the first one?
I did.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
So why haven't you seen the second one?
It came out when I was in school.
Oh, always excuses. That's the thing about kids today, Ray, is they have no accountability and they just make
exactly.
excuses.
Damn millennials.
Seriously, oh my God. Wait, what year were you born, Emily?
97.
Shut up. I had my bar mitzvah 3 years before she was born.
I think I was already working with Brittany when you were born.
Well, you and I are the exact same age, Ray, so we'll leave it at that. So let's see how much time we have left in segment one. We've got about a minute and a half. So yeah. I guess I can bring up the last band that I referenced before, and again, special shout out to Emily on my left, who actually helped me come up with this list of four. A Tribe Called Quest, represent Zen. Yeah. I want to hear about them.
I worked their farewell album, and that was way back when, and things were kind of, I mean, it was a weird time, because, like, you know, the band were breaking up. They were playing Madison Square Garden.
Small time shit. They didn't want to
do much talking.
I just want to say small time shit one more time. Madison Square Garden, that's nothing. Headline Madison Square Garden, sell that out. What, oh, really? You can do that? Can you sell out the Troubadour?
Well, I'm hanging out with friggin' Chris Caraba tomorrow. And he sold out Madison Square Garden.
That's
so
insane. Chris Caraba is a very, very talented man, talented songwriter, and one of the better shows I saw in college, what I went to school in Michigan, was Dashboard Confessional at the State Theater on the Places You Have Come to Fear the Most tour. So that was great. But anyway, we're going to cut this off in, I'd say, about 20 seconds, and we will resume by talking about your label history, because that's something I just learned, that you have, you know, I guess, ties with Island, Def Jam, Mammoth Records, others. I would love to hear some more fun stories, because let's keep this next half as positive as possible. And I love New York City. It is my favorite city in the country, and I live in LA, and I'm going to own that. I'm sorry, it's not DC, Tom. But basically, NYC is amazing. You live in the heart of it. I want to hear about that. And just any advice that you would have to a kid listening to the show who wants to become a publicist. So do you have any further questions, or can we take a short break?
I think we can take a short break.
All right. Stick around. Emily, can you just say sound off?
Sound off.
All right. We'll be right back. We are back with Ray on Waldman's Words. And one more time, I just want to introduce Emily. If you could describe one word to describe, I said describe twice in one sentence. If you can utilize one word to describe the previous 20-ish minutes, one word in the English language, what would it be?
Probably
Emily Burke, ladies and gentlemen, with the word So much to offer, yet so little time.
I was hoping for something like robust or
substantive, substantive, beautiful, angrilicious.
I feel like the word though, it's like it's not over and you're waiting for more. So it's kind of like, oh, cool, more is coming.
So anyway, let's move on. Emily Burke, ladies and gentlemen, you can follow her on Twitter at Emily Burke. EmilyBerke.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Anyway, so we're back to Ray, the man of the literal 20 minutes. So, label history. You've worked with Island Def Jam. You've worked with Mammoth Records. What have you done specifically for these labels? Because I think that's cool.
I've always done publicity. I'm the publicity guy. You know, like I've dabbled in other stuff, but like, you know, publicity is my home. So okay. I've done publicity for
Adobe is my home. It's where I sleep. It's where I wake up. It's where I bathe. Adobe is my publicity.
I hope they have really nice facilities over there, though.
They don't, but they have a bathroom. Do you have a shower here, Tom?
No.
He said no, but I've used it anyway. Anyway, so I mean, what Island Def Jam? Like, who are you working with there? Because when I think of Island, it's crazy. I think of Thrice and Thursday. Isn't that weird? I'm sorry, but that's what I think of.
And that was like the later part of I mean, I think of that like, you know, as almost like the third wave of Island. You know, when I was there, I worked Insane Clown Posse. I was Hanson. I worked CKY. I worked, you know, a bunch of stuff.
Wait, can you discuss, because I can't even speak English when it comes to the Insane Clown Posse and Juggalos. Please tell me an amazing story about them, because I went to school in Michigan and I have drank. I know I drank Faygo, and Faygo is sugar.
Yeah, well, I have a story about Faygo.
Please tell me. I'm going to shut up.
The two guys from St. Cloud Posse came to visit me, like, in my office one day, and they had two bottles of Faygo, and they kind of came in, they gave me high fives, we, like, you know, they were on the cover of alternative press. I think there was, like, four different covers, like, you know, that they were on, and they were celebrating, so what they did was they shook the bottles of Faygo and sprayed it all over my office.
Fuck that's mean. Red Pop?
It was like, you know, they thought it was funny. I thought it was a disaster. It killed my computer, you know, everything. So
They reimburse? Wait, Emily had a comment.
No, that's just the only thing I think about insane.
No, but make sure it relates to his computer being fucking destroyed by those jerks.
No, I totally see it happening.
I totally see it happening too. Did they reimburse you?
No.
What?
No, they thought it was funny.
That's not funny.
They gave me a high five, really, and, you know, me clowns. Kind of needing to kind of keep the like, you know, a happy face, I kind of gave them a high five back, and they walked out, and then I surveyed the damage and realized, yeah, everything's fucked.
All right, that's wow. I was trying to keep this 20 minutes uplifting. So here's the thing, because I'm going to be in New York soon, so hopefully I'll see you then. Do I have your permission to literally destroy everything in its path in front of you? Because I wouldn't do that normally, but now that I hear about the success of the Juggalo
Fest...
As long
as it's not sticky like Faygo.
Oh, it won't be sticky.
Like, you know, what's sticky was no, awful.
No, no, it's a sledgehammer. Very different than sticky. I'll just destroy things. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Remember that
sarcasm. Discuss.
Okay.
We'll discuss.
That's one of the worst things I could read in an email, by the way, when, like, someone doesn't answer you, but, like, yeah, we'll discuss that. It's like, just say yes or no, man. Anyway, tell me about Mammoth Records, because I don't know too much about Mammoth.
Mammoth, like, you know, when we were at Mammoth, my our publicity department was in New York, but the label itself was in Carrboro, North Carolina.
Okay.
But we had people like, you know, Squirrel Nut. Remember the Squirrel Nut Zippers?
Yeah, in the afterlife, you could be headed for. You know, I played a '90s cover band, right?
I was a publicist.
What?
I was a publicist.
What? Hell.
You know, Juliana Hatfield, you know,
yeah.
Juliana?
Yeah, dude, only everything. Come on, man. I'm a 90s kid.
That was on Mammoth Records.
Get the fuck out of town.
Yeah, that's like Machines. I don't know if you know Machines of Love and Grace, but like, you know, in the pop industrial world, like, you know, around the same time Nine Inch Nails was popping up, Machines of Love and Grace were on the same level as Nine Inch Nails, and they were on Mammoth Records. You know, we had a ton of great shit. So, but yeah, we had lots of great bands on there. So
that's sick. I first of all, Juliana Hatfield is awesome, and I'm sure you know this, but fun fact for the listeners, the Green album by Weezer, I'd say, is my third or fourth favorite Weezer record. Juliana Hatfield's bass player ended up becoming Weezer's bass player, and sadly he passed away.
I want to hear something really kind of oddly, I never made this connection before until right now.
As long as it's positive. Yes. Okay, good.
Oh, it's positive.
Okay.
It's a really cute story.
Okay. Cute? You know how I feel about that word, man. Don't use the word cute. I'm kidding. Say whatever the fuck you
want. It's a cute story.
Okay, fine.
But, you know, remember Matt Sharp, Matt Sharp played bass
Rentals.
On the first ones. Well, yeah, Rentals, but before he was in Rentals, he was in Weezer.
Yep, on their two best albums.
And I think he was a bass player, right?
Yeah, he bassist and backup vocalist. My first concert without my parents was Weezer opening for No Doubt. Weezer is my top five bands of all time, and it's the Matt Sharp era. I'm a fucking fanboy.
Well, when at the tour that I was worked on Julia Hatfield's Only Everything tour, and she went on tour with Jeff Buckley, and backstage at the New York City show was like a veritable who's who of like the indie alt rock world back then. Like, you had Gordon Gano of Violent Femmes. You had Paul McCartney was in the audience because he was Jeff Buckley's like his godfather or something.
That's so
but,
cool.
But Matt Sharp was there. And Matt Sharp had just left Weezer and was starting up the Rentals. And he had the biggest crush on Juliana because he came backstage and he came up to me and tugged up my sleeve, and he said, like, he asked me if I can introduce him to Juliana. And I turned around and I was like, oh my God, you're Matt from Weezer. Mm-hmm. And he's like, can you introduce me to Juliana? And I was like, sure. So I brought him over and I kind of put him in front of Juliana. And Juliana is really shy as well. So the two of them kind of looked at each other, shook hands. She's like, I really like your band. And he looked at her and she's like, I really like your band. And they sat there and, like, you know, looked at the floor for about like 5 minutes.
So it wasn't awkward at all.
It was the most awkward, but the cutest exchange I've ever seen by two rock, you know, gods and goddesses at that point. But yeah.
It's like, hi. It's like today when I see kids walking down the street, and again with the damn fucking stupid millennials, both of them have headphones in their ears as they're walking next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is wrong with that?
Oh, I was thinking at dinner not that long ago with all my nephews and nieces, and they were texting each other.
Oh, that's commonplace now. Like, the best thing is when you know someone who is on their phone all day long but doesn't know how to use the phone function nor the text function. They just know how to use the Instagram function. That is the weirdest shit ever. Fuck these millennials.
I called my niece once on the phone and she yelled at me because no one calls her on the phone. And I was like, well, what do you use your phone for if no one calls you on the phone? She's like, for texting.
Oh my God, I hate the world. Hate the world today. You're so good to me. Anyway, so let's transition to more positive. We keep trying to be positive, and I just destroy it. So blame me.
I know. I'm so depressing.
You're like an episode of Seinfeld, and I'm an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like,
I
this
thought
is
more like Dawson's Creek.
Oh, really? Are you that high regard? Like, where the teenagers speak better than laureate professors? That's
no,
Dawson's
this isn't
Creek.
Like, this isn't like, what was that damn show with like the mother daughter kind of thing that everyone freaking loves and all they do?
Gilmore Girls. Oh, thank Gilmore you. Oh. Wow, look, Emily chimes in there. Gilmore Girls.
I've never seen it, but Dawson's Creek was before my time, so this one I can chime in on.
What you know what else is before your time?
What?
Good.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that. So anyway, Tom is laughing, so that makes me feel really good. So I guess, you know what the next thing on my list with three more left is? You're going to love this. Fun stories. Fun stories. Fun. You told one fun story about Matt and Juliana. Do you have any other ones? Because
oh, I got plenty.
give me one, which rhymes with fun.
One story, like, you know, name the era. Do you want like, you know, early 90s rabie, or do you want later 90s rabie, or mid-era 90s, like mid-era rabie?
I love that you're referring yourself in third person like Bob Dole did in the late 90s. So let's do late 90s to go with late. Bob Dole is running for president and vote for Bob Dole.
Okay, well,
the Adobe kids 90s, are totally going to get that reference.
I have a great Britney story then.
Yay! Emily is so happy. She just did devil horns to Britney, you know.
Oh. If only this was filmed.
It is like, filmed.
But,
oh, no, it's not.
It's devil horns. But yeah, so I was down in Miami, Florida with Brittany. We were doing an interview on this TV show, this morning TV kids show called Whammy on Miami. And it was one of Brittany's first interviews. It was on live TV. And two things happened. So first thing, like before we went out on TV, Brittany was with the makeup girl. And she had a big zit on her cheek. And I kept on telling her, don't touch it. And the makeup artist put as much blush on it as possible, whatever makeup on it, to kind of cover it. So we had that all set. So we went on, we started doing the interview. While we're doing the interview, I see Brittany touching her face, and she's touching the zit on her face. And all of a sudden, while on live TV, extreme close-up, she pops it.
Wait. This is reminding me of the Ted Cruz thing where he's eating that random chunk in his lip. Do you know what I'm talking about? Creepy Ted Cruz?
Vaguely.
Oh, my God. Of course. Well, yeah, he's a totally normal, great man. But, oh, my God, wait, a pop pimple? Did you see pus?
Well, not only
ew.
That, she smeared it. She smeared it, and the camera was focused right on her face, and she had a blood streak that went down half her cheek. And I just kept on looking at the camera guy. I was like, other angle, move it.
Oh my God. I just threw up in my mouth, Ray. I'm just letting you know, like, Tom is throwing up and sneezing to my right.
So yeah, so blood streak on her face, and so we're still doing the interview, and so now we're on the other side of her face. So we're talking, and so the interviewer asked her, "So Brittany, tell me about the song Baby One More Time."
Just so you know, this is a fun story. So thank you.
Yeah, so of course. And so Brittany's like, and the interviewer says, "So what's the song all about?"
Oh, is this the one where she says she doesn't even know?
Well, she didn't write the song.
Of course she didn't.
She just sang it. So she's sitting there. She's like, so the song's about being hit again and again and liking it and wanting to be hit again.
So she's a proponent for domestic abuse.
Well, the interviewer said. Looked at her. She's like, so you're saying that this is about, like, you know, domestic violence? Yeah. And Brittany's like, I don't know. My publicist knows. Ray, come out here. And she pointed at me off camera, and they pulled, like, you know, the producer pushed me out into the screen, like, you know, into the camera's view, and I had to explain what the song was all about.
Dude, I just want to stop you for 1 second, because this is a total what the fuck. Like, if I were watching this, which I wasn't, I've heard about this. But if I was watching, let's just say, Lord, who's current, right, in an interview, mm-hmm. and the interviewer's like, so what is Royals about? And she's like, well, you know, it's about hitting people repeatedly, and then I'm just witnessing this.
And liking it. And liking it.
And liking it.
Like the pretty thing.
So, like, in a sadomasochistic way. For domestic abuse. Anyway, oops, I did it again, right? Seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy cow, that's fucking nuts. Well, how was your on-camera experience? Did you have, like, a crazy interview?
It was just kind of like, I kind of looked like a deer in headlights. I kind of sat there and looked at the camera and was like, it's not about that.
Well, that's what Emily and I looked at as we heard this. Emily, do you have one word to describe this Britney Spears story that is not
probably stronger, toxic.
Okay,
crazy,
those two words are better.
Circus.
Wow, every single word you did describes that story.
They're also all Britney Spears songs.
Oh, I am aware. And Lucky. And
Lucky.
Also Born to Make You Happy. That's one word.
Yeah.
Not a Girl, Not Quite a Woman, or whatever.
Oh, I'm not a girl, I'm not the girl. I saw the movie Crossroads. That movie sucked.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you know what? It was better than From Justin to Kelly, which I still think is the worst music movie ever made. And I like Kelly Clarkson.
But what does it say about Justin, though?
Justin? I have a Justin story if you want me to name drop him. It's really funny. Or I could just focus on you.
Oh, go for it. Okay. I have one, too.
Oh, cool. Well, then my first job in LA, I worked in TV casting, and I was the casting assistant on the pilot of The Office. And I was at a show at the Viper Room, actually. This is Steel Panther, but pre-Steel Panther. They're amazing. They used to be called Metal School and then Metal Shop and all that jazz. And I was there, and I was with like a friend or two, and I recognized this girl who had done an audition. I was just like, hey. And she's like, oh, hey. And she's next to this guy with a fro. And I introduced myself, and I'm like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And this guy's like, I'm Justin, like assuming that I knew, you know, and I honestly didn't. So that was my Justin Guarin story.
Wait, the Metal School, wasn't that where Kelly Clarkson was up on stage?
Yep.
She called Ryan Key up?
Yep.
And yeah, okay, so...
That was at the Key Club, that show, just so you know. Yep, it's all cyclical. But yeah, that's my Justin Guarin story. I haven't told that story literally in like 10 years, nor have I ever said it on the radio. What's your Justin Guarin story?
Oh, actually, I was thinking of Justin Timberlake. So
you know what I mean. From Justin to Kelly, it was the runner-up on Idol.
Yes.
But a lot of people don't know this. So Kelly Clarkson is, I would argue, probably the most successful Idol person. And then Carrie Underwood is either a close second or first. But people don't realize how well Daughtry did. Daughtry has sold a lot of
records. I
was about
to say that. Daughtry did a freaking pretty damn good job for himself.
And he didn't win. Him and Jennifer Hudson won an Oscar.
So and Fantasia Barrino.
Fantasia, oh my God, she sang the Porgy and Bess song. Didn't she have Did she not know how to read? Like it was.
She was in The Color Purple out here in Broadway in New York.
Amazing, that's so cool. So I guess we have a little bit of time left where we could focus on season 4 of American Idol or talk to me about New York City. I'm gonna be there in a few weeks. I grew up on Long Island, but I would never say that I'm a Manhattanite. So what's it like living there?
Oh, it's getting depressing.
Oh, who would have thought you'd focus on that?
Yeah, we got to talk happy, don't we?
No, you can talk about honestly anything. But what's depressing about it other than the Summer of Sam?
There's no music venues anymore. There's no places to go, like you know, to go hang out at, like you know, go hang out at a club and find a new band or anything like that. Like Arlene's Grocery is still there, but it's not so fun anymore. You know, Rockwood Music Hall is probably the one last place where you can actually discover new music.
I would go to Coney Island High, dude. That's where I used to go when I was in high school. Coney Island High. Wetlands, and they're not there anymore, and it's sad.
And they're all gone. They're all gone.
My favorite venue was the Knitting Factory, and that moved to Brooklyn. And so I understand. Trust me, I get it. I think a lot of this is getting really political, but I think a lot of the downfall of the New York City venue started when Giuliani was in office.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that fucking nuts?
But I do love living in New York, though. I mean, it's like it's great.
It's amazing. So. You always have something to do. The food is better than anywhere in the country except Vegas. Believe it or not, the best food I've ever had is in Vegas.
Yeah, I can't say the same.
That's fine. Well, you're going to the wrong places. But in New York, it's you find everything. As far as people, it's definitely my scene more than Vegas. Vegas is not my scene for people.
Absolutely.
And every time I'm there, I have a good time. I visit my mom. I visit my sister. And hopefully I'll be able to high-five you in a few weeks.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
So I guess one more – oh, sorry. You have something to say about it?
Oh, no.
One more thing before we close out. What advice would you give to someone who wants to do what you do?
Learn to write, most importantly. Know your grammar. Grammar is important. That's so important because if you think about it, when you're a publicist, you're pitching writers. And if you're writing to a writer and they notice that your pitch is riddled with typos and run-on sentences and crap like that, you just end up in the delete file. So
like you only get one chance to make a first impression type deal.
Exactly. Okay. And like you know, get your story out. Make like you know, you got to be able to make yourself and your band sound interesting. You know, that's like you know, and that's the best way to do it is know how to write. No big words, no important words. You know, like it's all about grammar. It's all about like you know, being a writer.
I have a BA in English and. My job, your job is similar in that, like, I mean, PR is a sales job in essence, and so is management because you're not selling fruits and berries. Metaphorically, you might be, but you know, you have to get the word out there, and you only get one chance to reach someone. So if I wrote Ray an email or a Facebook message or whatever, and it was littered with, like, first of all, I got Tryna in a an email last week. T-R-Y-N-A. Yeah, it's slang for, like, I'm trying to. So immediately, I don't care if this person makes music like the Beatles. I just can't do it. I just can't work with them. Like, because it's just like, that's your introduction. So work smarter, not harder, and trying to write a good email. That's my advice, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Well, then, Ray, I'm just going to say a few things about future guests, and we'll close it out with, I guess, one-word description from Emily about this. We've never done the one-word description, and I'm kind of loving it. But your episode, today is Wednesday, but this is airing on a Tuesday, so your episode will be airing on Tuesday, which is technically today, too, because you're listening today, and today is also Wednesday. It's so weird, right? But it's going to be on June 27th. At 5 p.m., which by the time you're listening to this right now, dear listener, it'll be later than that. Time is so fucked up. So I appreciate you doing that. The following week, I have Megan Thompson in the studio. She works for Hopeless Records. Speaking of Yellow Card, she's a part of that label. And then I'm actually going to be in New York for hopefully Hugging Ray, a bunch of meetings, and Warped Tour. And so we're going to be airing episodes that were already recorded. We've got Curtis Douglas, who is an amazing producer that I actually manage, who's worked with Sundress, The Main, just really good bands. And then the following week, we've got J.D. Perry, who is in the band Valencia, and Sean Dorsey together. They have a label called No Hope Records. So Waldman's Words is definitely going to be a fun next few weeks. Ray, do you have anything you want to say? Like, how can people find you?
Valencia is a baby alumni. Alumnus. Yeah. I worked with Valencia way back when. Well, with everybody, dude. If you look at my friggin', like my history, I've worked with friggin' every band.
Oh, so. I was not going to mention every band you worked with, because that would be the whole show. But I did look, and I did not know Valencia, but just as you know, the singer of Valencia is going on tour with Best X. So it's just like everything is full circle. Indeed. Besides your love for Valencia, do you have any other way, besides your Valencia fan page that you just created, how else can people get a hold of you or contact you or read about you?
Best way is, like, you know, go to my website, www.raybee, and that's R-E-Y-B-E-E.com. And drop me an email. I'm one of the very few publicists who actually try to answer every single one of the emails I get.
Well, so, you answered mine.
So, yeah.
You answered mine, so fact, case in point, he's on the show because I met on Facebook and then eventually worked with one of my clients. So it's just...
And read my Tumblr, too. Make sure you read my Tumblr.
I'm too old for Tumblr, dude. But Emily, what's Tumblr like?
It's a really cool place where Ray has a blog, and you should all go and read it.
You should totally
It's go very blue.
Like blue, da-ba-dee, da-ba-dee, da-ba-dee.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So I guess... Emily,
yes.
To close this show out, besides thanking Ray, what one word would you use to describe the past hour of our lives?
Amazing.
Yay!
Yay!
That was good. Fist pound.
Amazing, if you want to get into it.
I was still hoping for robust.
I mean, you can't be careful what you wish for, right? This was the most robust interview of my life. So thank you so much, Ray, for being on the show, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Well, thank you, everyone and guys.
Thank you, everyone and guys and gal.
And
especially Dan Brink. Dan Brink is the MVP of the hour for recording it and smiling at me just now. And laughing now. So have a great day, guys. And again, Ray, you're the man. This interview was awesome.